Text amendment. Administrative Finance Committee to order for March 21st, 2017. I'm Councilman John Cartier, chairing the meeting. My legislator, Brian Holleiter, is taking the minutes. Before we get on the agenda, I wanted to recognize the fellow council members that are in the room. Councilman Hollins, Councilman Bell, Councilman Powers, Councilman Sheldon, Councilmember Kilpatrick, Council President Karen Hartley Nagel. And I want to move on to the agenda. That we have in a quorum, so we can approve the minutes. Do I have a motion on the minutes of the previous Finance Committee meeting?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, the minutes of the 2/28/17 Administrative Finance Committee minutes are approved. Moving on to resolutions, there are none. Next on the agenda, under ordinances, we have two ordinances. One is to abate property taxes for a local nonprofit in the county. The other one is a ordinance clarifying language regarding abatement of taxes and penalties. So I'll begin with the ordinance 17 dash, and before I go on to this, Councilman Tackett and Councilman Smiley and Woods are excused. They'll not be attending. Possibly Councilman Tackett might be coming in late, but one likely won't be here. Under ordinances 17-011, to amend the Newcastle County Code, Chapter 14, Finance and Taxation, regarding abatement of taxes and penalty. This is Councilman Tackett's ordinance. I know that we have lifelines and experts on subject matter experts who would like to comment on the substance of this ordinance. Who would like to go first? Okay. Councilor Mike Migliori.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hopefully, I'm sure what the easiest way. John, apologize for talking to you back.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give an overview of the legislation, including what the law currently provides. The legislation would amend sections 14.05, 0.001, and 0.003, which deals with abatements as authorized in tandem between the Finance Department and council members. What it is required is, in order for an abatement, which is a discount, could be all the way down to zero, but it's just a fancy word for discount. It allows for an abatement of taxes, prior taxes that are due, so long as all other current taxes are paid. Now, under the code as it's currently written, current taxes and charges means both county taxes, so amounts that are owed to the county, as well as any taxes that the county collects on behalf of other entities. In this case, it would be the state. Specifically, we would be referring to real property school taxes. Now, the county only has authority and jurisdiction over abating county taxes. It has no jurisdiction whatsoever with state taxes. Yet the process, as it currently requires for the taxpayer to pay both county and state before they can move forward. So you could move forward and have the abatement done at the county level, or at least prepared to go forward, but if frankly you can't until that person would pay the state taxes too. What this would do is more rationally unlink those two. So you would have an abatement of county taxes so long as all county taxes and charges are paid. The party still has to, and they had to do this anyway, they have to go to the state to seek an abatement of those public school taxes. So that's one thing that this does. The other thing that this does, currently under the code, there's a requirement that if someone's going to come before a council member and ask for an abatement of those taxes, they have to meet a three-prong test. And that's that test is that there are unique circumstances that support that abatement, number one. Number two, that equity, i.e. fairness, supports that. And then third and final, that there are other circumstances that support an abatement. And we can go, frankly, when we go through item two on the agenda, some of this will come a little more clear. But working through what the code currently provides and how it would be amended. As I said, the three prongs standard that I just set forth, it's currently required under the code, but what is not required, but would be required if this legislation were to be passed, is in that special ordinance that's created with a council member working with finance department, is to set forth expressly what are the factors that were relied upon to approve that abatement. So now it goes from something that is not expressed to something that needs to be built into the actual ordinance itself. Aside from that, there are several cleanups, some language in there that other code citations currently refer to was a little loose and needed to be cleaned up. And there are a few other housekeeping cleanups as far as language, but aside from that, that is the sum and substance of the ordinance that's proposed.
Okay, I appreciate all the effort going into this because I think we need to de-link the abatement of our taxes and fees and charges from the state, since we have no ability anyway to affect that, and also gives us the ability to at least address concerns of our taxes and fees owed and the need to abate them in you know, specific circumstances. Are there any questions, comments, Councilmember Kilpatrick? Before we do that, Councilmember Deller is at the table with us.
Mike, when you said the party would go to the state, previously did we as a county go to the state to talk about school taxes, or was it always the party?
Danny Harbor from Finance, no, we did not go to the state, the party did. Now, sometimes we would assist the party in who to contact at the state and walk them through the process, but it was always been the party that goes to the state to request an abatement on state on school taxes.
So even under this, we would still give assistance?
We did, and in fact, as you'll see in the second item, don't we get ahead of ourselves, but we did just that. We recommended to whom they should speak.
Okay.
That's who they're currently speaking with.
Okay.
So that would not change at all.
Okay.
And that's, again, only the state, if it's so inclined to abate, can do that when it comes to public school taxes. And that's built into the Delaware Code.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Councilman Holland.
Well, just for clarity, when I've had this issue before, I was told by finance that before we would actually give the taxes abatement for the county, that the taxpayer would have to get the approval of the school districts before. School districts meaning the state. We're saying the state now, but before we said you got to go to all of the school districts. And there was usually one school district that would not go forward to support it. And therefore, we couldn't move forward with the abatement because that was really the hang-up, because oftentimes, and even my office trying to assist church or whomever, we were unsuccessful, even though we assist with the right letters and everything else, because we couldn't even get the county's part done until that happened. Now, are you telling me that we don't have to get the state before we abate the county's portion?
First things first, you're right on the money with how you describe the program currently.
Mm-hmm.
County can't do anything. Under the program, if this legislation were to be enacted, what would then happen then is the county deals with county charges and fees, as it should. It's the only body that has jurisdiction over them. And then separately, and that would not be held up by the state.
Okay.
Separately, the state would deal with that individual, or in this way, could be a corporation too.
Right.
But it would deal with that entity separately as it relates to state taxes.
And that would not impede going forward with the counties?
Absolutely not.
All right.
That's the whole idea behind this.
Okay.
That's the whole thrust behind this legislation.
The other clarity I need is when you say if all current taxes have been paid, what are you considering current taxes? Because usually what happens is that someone will come forward and say that, well, I want abatement for these back taxes. So when does current actually kick in? What are you considering current taxes?
Yep, it's a great question. That's what I was talking about. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but you'll see it'll become more crystal clear. I'll attempt to answer it now. which you'll see even more clearly when we address the second ordinance. So I'll give you a hypo to address the question. So taxes for prior year, 2016, were not paid for whatever reason. Perhaps you just took over the property.
Right.
And the prior owner didn't pay it, and yet under the sale, you took responsibility for the taxes. 2017, taxes must be paid. It's not just taxes, sorry. It's can be sewer charges and penalty also. Everything for 17 has to be paid, and now you're looking for the abatement for 2016.
Okay. Thank you.
I want to recognize Councilman Street has joined us, and I think he has a question.
Well, I just have some comments. I totally and 100% support this, but Council's here, and I'm letting all y'all know right now, I'm letting you know, I'm on bring forward something that changes the rules probably a little bit more than this, because the rules now basically say that there's a timeline. I think it's March. You don't have to file by March. You have to pay the taxes for the year. I think once you're determined to be nonprofit, that it should be effective at the point of recognition by the county that you're a nonprofit, as opposed to having to wait up to a year to get the tax exemption. I don't know if administration's here or not, but I'm sure they'll get the message. The county attorney's office, in previous instances, has been, in my opinion, lackadaisical at best in responding to the exemption request on behalf of organizations, to the point where me and somebody else got into it, and I acted like Jay, both on the phone and via email, because of the importance, and finally I'd end up in the county exec's office to just get the application. It had been sitting there for 98. Mm-hmm. Well, the rule is you gotta have 30 days in from the acquisition of the property. Then why are we waiting 90 days, 120 days, and all this long period of time to respond? So to me, all that's a problem. Councilman Holland's absolutely correct. We had one superintendent who just flat out, I don't care. And the first property I had, I've acquired 8 properties. I didn't know the rules, didn't get it in on time. And what I was told was, well, I'm not going to make the exemption for your organization. Why don't you apply for a grant? I said, you know what? I'm not going through all that. I'll just pay the taxes. The next 7 properties, I knew the rules that it is. But other nonprofits who haven't been through that don't know the rules. And so it's just unfair and inappropriate. The other is I get sick and tired of folks attacking tax-exempt organizations. And all of a sudden, there's a view by some that is an undue and unfair burden, and nonprofits shouldn't have the tax exemption. Well, they forget. In my case, in the instant matter, the food bank has far more employees than I do, and far more sites. You know, there's $1 million worth of jobs with benefits, and the city crying, well, I'm paying $10,000 a year or more in utility bills, and all my employees pay city wage, state tax, federal tax. So the whole myth that we're undue burden on the tax system is just wrong, inappropriate. And so this and any other opportunity I get to say that, I do so.
Okay, thank you for those comments. And we look forward to whatever legislation you would want to bring forward to continue the process of modifying, enhancing our standards regarding abatements. I got a question. This prompts a question to me. I don't know if this is going to the finance department or law. The length of time it takes to review and act on tax abatement requests. Does anybody from finance have a comment on that? Does that undergo review in your shop, or is it law?
It,
Please identify yourself for the record.
It's reviewed by law. I really can't speak for the law front thing.
Okay. Is that your experience?
You're absolutely correct. And who I was telling last was somebody in the law department.
Okay.
They were the hold up. Well, we have other things to do. We have, well, you know. Anyway.
All right. Very good. Are there any other comments or questions from council regarding ordinance 17-011? Anything else that you'd like to contribute to this discussion?
No, sir.
Mike. Councilman Powers.
Just since it kind of follows the same tax exemption, it's farmland assessment. Somebody will buy a farm with farmland assessment, they have to apply. You can't do anything until they apply for the next year. So it's the same thing they're saying. Anything that isn't, and that's state law. If they want to go change it, go change it. But when it's still in the same thing, you shouldn't have to wait another whole year.
Who confers that farmland tax abatement? Do we do that, or is it the state government?
It's us.
So, Danny Harmer for finance. It goes through assessment, but it's governed by us, the state of Delaware.
Okay.
So any law changes, I believe, would have to come from the state.
Okay. Thank you.
From the state.
All right. Any other questions, comments?
It's easier than here.
On ordinance 17-011. Councilman Smiley has joined us.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. We're going to move on to the next ordinance, substitute number one, to ordinance 17-006, to authorize the abatement of Newcastle County real property taxes and penalties on the property of the Food Bank of Delaware at 222 Lake Drive, Newark, tax parcel number 11-021. 0.00-028, and again, this is brought forward by Councilman Tackett, and this is a substitute ordinance. Mike, would you like to discuss this?
Sorry,
Mike McGlory, the Council to Council.
So I'll kind of hopefully put some more meat on the bones in furtherance of the earlier discussion regarding the prior ordinance. And tell you how that would work if that were to pass into law, as it applies to the Food Bank of Delaware. I think it's important to have some background facts so you fully understand the applicability here. The Food Bank of Delaware moved from the former warehouse to a new warehouse, approximately 1 million square feet. That deal closed on July 6th. July 1 is, you probably know, July 1 is the assessment date for taxes. Since the 1980s, Food Bank had been tax exempt. By mistake, they misunderstood that the tax exemption would run from the prior warehouse to this property. The tax exemption is particular to the party, but also the property. So, because of a misconception here, they thought that the property, which they bought 5 days after the tax assessment, would be assessed to them, as opposed to the owner of the property, who was a for-profit company as of July 1. So there were taxes assessed on July 1. July 6, Food Bank takes ownership, and now they have a tax bill. If tax exemptions work forward, abatements work in reverse. Rear window looking, if you will. And because of that, Food Bank, and I believe there are other organizations out there that have experienced this, is seeking, they petitioned to, I think, both the Finance Department as well as to one of the council members, asking for an abatement of their county taxes, which are approximately 13, as of the time of the legislation being filed, I think it's 13,000 and change. It's increased because of penalty and interest to just about 14,000. And those are arrearages, amounts that are owed to the county only. In addition to that, there are amounts that are owed to the state in the form of public school taxes. And in regards to the public school taxes, they are working, they being the food bank, are working with the state to seek an abatement of those taxes. So part of the basis for this, when you're applying the three-prong test, it's already part of the standard. And if you look at the ordinance, it's been built into the ordinance as it relates to food bank. One, it has to be unique circumstances. Here you have really a situation that, but for a misunderstanding, food bank would have had the exemption. In fact, post-closing, they were granted a tax exemption from the state and the county. But that does not take effect, because exemptions are forward-looking, will not take effect until July 1 of this year. So they need an abatement, which they've always, and if you look at their history, they have not paid taxes because they were always tax exempt for their history, but dating back to 1980 or 81. Furthermore, there's no history that shows that they have ever sought any kind of tax abatement relief. Frankly, they didn't need to because they were tax exempt for all their history. The other factors you need to look at here is fairness. But for 5 days, frankly, if they were able to close it, and it wasn't due to stalling on their behalf or any kind of anything that was being tricky here. It's a matter of sometimes with big deals, they take a few extra days to close. And that's what happened here. It closed on July 6 instead of July 1. If it closed on July 1, the miracle would have been they would have had their tax exemption. So, and then as far as other circumstances that support this, several factors that support that, I think, are the goodwill that Food Bank provides to the community as a general proposition. Among other things, if they were forced to pay this amount, it would significantly impact some of the services that they provide, which include training of underemployed and unemployed individuals, as well as provision of food and other things to folks. So those are several of the bases that support this.
All right, thank you. And for the record, the fiscal impact of this abatement, if it's granted by County Council through the vote, is the Newcastle County receivable balance of $13,973.98 in the tax year 2017 would be abated. Ed's like waving his hands.
And just to follow up on what the County Council Attorney said, that has changed because of the delay in getting this legislation, there's been a penalty added. So the exact amount is $14,362.15.
Okay.
Get the exact amount on record.
And the councilman will be moving from the floor to amend it. That point is changing to include the $300 additional.
Okay. Any other comments, questions on this very important abatement piece of legislation for the Food Bank of Delaware? Councilman Street.
Not for the food bank. Nonprofit organizations who obtain food at a reduced rate would not be able to do what they do in terms of the distribution of food for shelters and people who run into emergency situations. So, in my opinion, as opposed to charging them $14,000, we ought to be giving them $14,000 to $15,000. And given what the fools in D.C. are doing with housing, food, and everything else, food banks going to be needed more so than ever before in its history. So, and that date, and those dates, and our rules, we're part of the problem. And the other is, for the nonprofits who haven't been through acquisition of property, I'd like to see us try to devise a mechanism by which, you know, when a nonprofit is purchasing property that either we have or the settlement attorney has responsibility to notify that nonprofit that their tax exemption does not carry over into the new acquisition of property until they get the exemption. Because one of the problems here, and if I were making the presentation as opposed to you making it, is notice. There's no notice that you have to have this thing within 30 days of the purchase of the property. So on the one hand, well, ignorance of the law is no excuse, but fundamental fairness in terms of notice, I think, is our responsibility.
Councilmember Kilpatrick and Councilman Smiley.
Thank you. A while back, I remember that we changed some of the criteria by which the Department of Finance could give these abatements without having to come to council. Is there any possibility that we could look at adding nonprofits to that? So all of these, if there's more, they don't have to come to council, but the decision can be made through finance because they know that a nonprofit with that designation would automatically have the abatement, the exemption. I mean, didn't we up the dollar amount or something that they could make the decision in-house? I mean, for something like this, I doubt that there's much of a question.
Councilman Smiley really wants to talk.
Well, first I'll go to where you're at.
He jumped on the table.
Well, main thing what we did with that legislation is we had issues reoccurring every year at tax time for the residential customer. So we changed that to allow greater latitude. I'm sure I see no reason why we couldn't do something like that. For this, it's just a matter of us bringing forward legislation.
Right.
The question comes whether you want to put parameters around it, such as not to exceed 24 months, 12 months. In other words, somebody comes in and they're 10 years down the road, I don't think we want to see something. So, yeah, I think it's definitely possible. one of the things that wasn't mentioned, and you know, at the risk of carrying on my perception of being heartless, what wasn't mentioned is they did have a 30-day window to do this. And as was said, well, they were unaware. They thought they automatically had it. They didn't. They missed that 30-day window, which is why we're here. But my point being, we previously did legislation to allow for one-time forgiveness for residential customers. So with that in mind is why I have no reason supporting this, because this is the first time that they've had an issue, so I can support it. But yeah, I think, you know, I haven't had any nonprofits, although I probably 90% of my district could claim nonprofit status since they're not making any money out there. But so I'd be perfectly willing to support any legislation anybody wanted to work through it with them to address it, because I'm one who has no problem trusting the department to do the right thing. And I think the greater flexibility we give it, it's easier on them and easier on the nonprofit and the residents, whoever they have to deal with. So
all right,
that's all I'm going to say.
More hands from council. Councilmember Dillon and Councilman Street.
I was just going to say, it makes perfect sense that if they're moving from property to property and they're the ones with the 501c3, that it just transfers with it. I think we should find a way to do that and trust the department to make that call.
Councilman Street.
I like those ideas a whole lot better than I like mine. I support that. And the other is, which I didn't mention, and it goes before the previous administration. There was basically in the law department a pervasive mean spirit as related to nonprofit organizations. And repeatedly requiring that nonprofits show proof that they're continuing to be nonprofit. Well, at the point where the IRS and determinations hasn't changed, who are we? And why were we actively pursuing questioning whether or not nonprofit agencies continue to perform their nonprofit functions? I just had a major problem with that. It wasn't my agency. There were other agencies that came to me, quite frankly, one of which lost, which I didn't agree with it having to be done in the first place.
Councilman Hollins.
Thank you. One of the things you said, Mike, about the unique circumstances was a misunderstanding. And I'm happy to see this change, but I can tell you that in the case that I mentioned, it was a small church in Southridge that had the necessary 501c3 standing, whatever that classification is. They purchased a property from a former church, and clear case of we're a nonprofit, we're a church, they're moving to another area that used to be a church, and they assume that their nonprofit, they're moving to a facility that they bought from another nonprofit, that it should move forward. In that instance, they were denied simply because we could not get all five school districts to agree. A small church in the community moving to a former church site, and then they're hit with the taxes, and we did nothing about it. So I'm happy to see this change being made. It's really a hardship not to have some reasonable kinds of approach to these things, and hopefully this legislation will allow the law department and finance and my verse to be a little bit more practical about these approaches.
Yeah, it's a good point. Councilman, if I might respond. It may fit more neatly under the second prong, which is equity or fairness. And to respond to you, Councilwoman, the this could neatly fit in under 1405.002c5 would be a good place, because it's immediately preceded at c4 with where taxes incorrectly were assessed against property exempt at the time of the assessment. New 5 could say where you've got a nonprofit that already has exemption but moves from one location to another. It should retain that.
And then the department would be able to.
They would be able to handle it. Decision. Yeah, you wouldn't necessarily have to go through hitting the three prongs to satisfy it. It could be then dealt with by the CFO and finance.
All right, Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, okay. To get off third base and round towards home, I'd like to formally ask Council to draft a piece of legislation towards this, and we'll work with finance and assessment on it.
Sorry, would it be similar to what Councilman Patrick suggested? Okay, yes, sure.
No, it's a request. I don't need to damn vote for that. Not yet, anyway. All right. Fair enough, Councilwoman?
Yeah, I just mouthed that to
you. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize she was
I was talking out of turn.
She was mouthing. I've never seen her really move and be silent. My apologies. Okay. Now, everybody,
so you can
now everybody knows what she's up to.
All right. Are there any other comments, questions on substitute number 1 to ordinance 17-06006. Comments from the public? Questions? All right, moving on to other part of the agenda. We have a travel reimbursement request. We have that in front of you. This is a for Councilman Weiner to attend the National Association of Counties annual conference. This is a summer conference of NATO. He's not here. I will make a motion to approve. Well, before I do that, I don't know if Lou would like to comment on this.
Just quickly, sir. It's not
his legislative aide, Lou.
It's the request to travel, and then once it's approved, then we'll be submitting the request for reimbursement.
Thank you. As everybody knows, Councilman Weiner has been very active with NACO over many years, so I'd like to make a motion to approve his travel request to the NACO Association of Counties Annual Conference. Yes, Councilman Smiley.
Would a motion be in order to reduce the amount of transportation to $277.20 to enhance the probability that he won't come back? Oh, I guess not. Okay. Second the motion.
All right, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. The travel request is approved with Councilman Weiner. All right.
Whatever you want to tell me, I'll be on recorded. I already know.
Grants. Moving on to council grants. Starting with the Newark Senior Center, Council Member Diller.
Yes, this is a grant request from the Newark Senior Center, and I would like to fund it for $2,500. I'd like to make a motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for $2,500 to the Newark Senior Center. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
All right. Grant is approved to the Newark Senior Center. That's a very good organization, a great cause. I'm glad Councilmember Diller continues her great support of that senior center. The next grant request is under my sponsorship, Edgemoor Terrace Civic Association. They have a requested amount of $1,500, which I'm going to grant to them. And let me just explain something about Edgemoor Terrace. That's a unincorporated subdivision in the county, and it's a unique kind of situation. They have some open space that they, and right-of-way that they own, but they don't have any way of really raising money. They don't have a maintenance corporation. It's a very old subdivision, so they have real challenges with this. So I'm going to support them with the grant for maintenance request for their open space. So I'd like to make a motion for $1,500 to go to the Edgemoor Terrace Civic Association.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
All right. Grant is approved to the Edgemoor Terrace Civic Association. Capital Little League, Councilman Sheldon.
Per title, completion of the dugouts that are remaining to be done. This $2,500 would go towards that. So I make a motion for $2,500.
I'll second that. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
All right, the grant is approved to the Capital Little League, and I know you support them very consistently. Good grant. Greater Newark Baseball League, Councilmember Diller.
Yes, this is $2,000, and basically it's used for scholarshiping kids who to play baseball. So I'll move it.
A motion, do I have a second?
Second.
Motion is second for a grant for the Greater Newark Baseball League. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
All right, the grant is approved for the Greater Newark Baseball League by Councilmember Diller. Okay, another consistent support from council. Hokesson, 4th of July.
Thank
you. Delaware Community Fund, Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. This is an annual grant started under Bill Tansey. It's been going on for 12 years or something like that. The money goes through Delaware Community Fund. And so I move that $2,500 be given to the Hokesson 4th of July parade.
We have a motion, a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
All right, the grant is approved to the Hokesson 4th of July festivities. Thank you. All right, moving under the agenda. All right, anything for the expense and revenue roundtable? Councilman Smiley.
This is actually grants, but very quickly, let me relate it. Earlier, council approved a $5,000 grant from the 7th District account for the Emergency Medical Services Division. Quick rundown, just so you know how far they can stretch money. That $5,000 paid for staffing for 22 CPR orientation and training events for 498 participants. That's what brought people in, called them out. Those that wanted to go, they went in through the pre-training to try to avoid the dropout rate. In addition to that, it was staffing for 7 vital life presentations for 255 citizens. So I applaud them for the work they did with that over the morning. So thank you.
Thank you for that report. Anything else on the expense and revenue roundtable? Okay, moving on to other. Anything for other? Good of the order. Anything public comment? Do I have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The Finance Committee meeting of March 21st is adjourned. Thank you.